Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Money, education, and the Constitution collide in New Jersey. Good morning, everyone. This is going to sound familiar if you've lived in New York or New Jersey for a while, but it has some new twists. The familiar part, a state court rules that cuts to low-income school districts violate the state constitution, while the governor says more money doesn't buy a better education. Other courts and other governors have been down this road. The new twists, New Jersey's extreme fiscal crisis with the constitutional implications of that, and the fighting style of Governor Chris Christie, a former U.S. attorney.
We must end the myth that more money equals better achievement. It is a failed legal theory, and we can no longer waste our children's time or the public's money waiting for it to work.
So let's talk about what really happened in Tuesday's lower court ruling, what happens next in state Supreme Court, and what it really means for New Jersey's taxpayers and at-risk kids. And to the underlying issues, how much does more money buy a better education? How much should inequality be acceptable under the law? And how much should the Constitution take the state's fiscal condition into account? Let's ask Steve Adubato, New Jersey political analyst, WNET Channel 13 anchor, host of the program One-on-One there, and author of the book What Were They Thinking? And Paul Trachtenberg, the Rutgers law professor whose specialty is education and constitutional law. Steve and Paul, thanks a lot for coming on.
Great to be
Glad
with you,
to
Brian.
Be here.
And listeners, give us your take on those bottom line questions. How much does more money buy an education? 212-433-WNYC. How much inequality should be acceptable under a state constitution? 212-433-9692. And how much should the Constitution take the state's fiscal condition into account? 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. As money, education, and the Constitution collide yet again. Steve, remind us of the basics here. Governor Christie made fiscal crisis cuts in state aid to school districts last year, but his formula was designed to pass muster with the court, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, you have to remember, people call it Governor Christie's budget, but the Democrats control both houses of the legislature. They had to approve that budget. They approved that budget. In fact, and then Paul is one of the state's top experts on this issue, has been dealing with it for a long time. I even believe Paul would agree that that budget, those cuts, were not disproportionately aimed at cutting urban so-called Abbott districts. They were spread across the state. Many suburban school districts, in fact, Brian, got all of their state aid cut. So let's put that into context.
Right. So I want you to describe that a little more for people who don't know. He was trying to cut in a formula, within a formula, and as you say, the legislature, controlled by Democrats, approved it, so it's really the bipartisan state budget, absolutely right. And there was a formula here so that the low-income districts would only get cut a certain amount and the higher-income districts would get cut more. Can you describe it briefly?
That's exactly right. I mean, you can get into the jargon or the acronyms of what exactly we're talking about in terms of the formula, but you have to abide by the state law as it relates to how much money you spend and where you spend it in terms of state aid to local schools. And I'm not a legal expert or a judicial scholar, but my sense is at the time what was happening was Christie and the Democrats were saying, look, we have a massive fiscal crisis. We have an $11 or $12 billion gap in our budget, and one of the ways we want to deal with it is cutting state aid to local school districts by $800+ million, and that's what they did. And now this particular judge, Judge Doyen, is saying his opinion, when asked by the Supreme Court to look at this, is that it doesn't meet constitutional muster.
All right, Paul.
The question in my mind is, if the state's about to go bankrupt, is that not relevant? In my mind, it is.
Paul, remind us of the constitutional context. The state constitution requires a, quote, thorough and efficient education for every child. What's the established law, and what has that meant in practice?
Well, this is an issue, Brian, we've been litigating for more years than I care to remember, and I think what emerged was the notion that students were entitled to equality of educational opportunity, and that meant students who are disadvantaged, or as we often refer to it, at risk, may well require more in, by way of resources and programming than students who are advantaged. But there's an important issue. There's a lot of I think, overblown rhetoric around what's at issue here, and I want to make a couple things clear. One is the statute whose constitutionality is at issue was a statute adopted 2 years ago. It was created by the state, Education Department, based on a multi-year costing out study of how much it would cost to provide the constitutional education. When the state asserted in court that that statute should be found constitutional, it guaranteed that it would be fully funded. It even told the court, if you have any doubts about whether we'll fully fund it, build that requirement into your decision. The court did. And so the narrow issue before the court now is having, at the state's request, put in a mandate of full funding of this formula, the state having fallen short by $1.6 billion of fully funding it, can that possibly lead to a constitutional result? Judge Doyne weighed all the evidence and found it clearly did not. And I want to pick up on something
Steve said. But Steve's point was, how could the judge not take into consideration the deterioration of the state's fiscal condition compared to when the law was passed? Does that not need to come into any accounting of what a required spending level on education needs to be?
The statute was enacted in December 2008. We were in fiscal crisis then. It's not as if we were in halcyon days financially and we adopted this elaborate, over-expensive formula and now suddenly fiscal crisis has occurred. We were in fiscal crisis. We knew that.
Steve, go ahead.
Respectfully, and Paul has been on with me many times on the public television side. He knows how much respect I have for him. But, Paul, it's just not true. The fact is there was a severe economic downturn after that. And the fact is, Christie, whether you like him or not, and I disagree with him on a lot of things, including his opposition of the so-called millionaire's tax. I think he's wrong on that because we need that money. But I'll say this. He's the first governor to actually try in serious fiscal times like this to deal with the fact that state spending is out of control. How could we say that Judge Doyne or the Supreme Court, which, look, we expect them to, in fact, reinforce this decision by the judge or this opinion by the judge, and we know they're going to call for more state spending. I was born and raised in the city of Newark, in the Newark Public Schools. I'm a product of it. $28,000 per student. That's what is spent. New Jersey spends more per student for education than any other state in the nation. And what Paul is saying is, what the judge is saying is, it's not enough. And fiscal reality does not matter. That's lunacy.
No, what is enough is fully funding the state's own formula, which the state committed to do. Now, you could say that was then, this is now. I don't think the situation is so fundamentally changed. Secondly, the state makes judgments about how to raise money and where to raise it. You mentioned the millionaire's tax.
Right.
The estimate was we gave up $1 billion of revenue by letting the millionaire's tax lapse. We're seriously considering a voucher bill that would divert, some say, hundreds of millions of dollars from the public schools to private schools. We have a gas tax that's the fourth lowest in the country, and we're the only state in the country that doesn't permit people to pump their own gas. So there are a lot of judgments that go into striking a budget, and the question is whether the constitutional rights of 1.4 million children in New Jersey are optional.
But Paul, let me ask you, to Steve's earlier number, $28,000 on average per Newark Public School student, if that number is accurate, then what would be the constitutional minimum that could be spent on a public school child. That is so far above the national average, far above what they spend in New York City and other places.
You never get a number for this, Brian. That's the problem.
What? How much? And if they still have the very low graduation rate and all the other problems, how are you going to? What's going to provide the better outcomes? Are you going to say it's $38,000, $48,000? What would the judge see as the number?
No, the number is built into the state's own statute. The state established something called the adequacy level of funding. It's the state's determination of what it takes by way of spending to provide an adequate education. The result of the budget cut is 36% of all New Jersey school districts, 205 districts, are spending less than what the state determined was adequate. And most of those districts are suburban districts. 18 of them are poor urban districts. More than 90% of the districts that can't spend up to the level of what the state has determined to be adequate.
Before we go back to state, let me follow up. If the wording of the Constitution, Paul, is a thorough and efficient education that's guaranteed, where does efficient come in? If it's $28,000 per student already and the outcomes are horrible, where does efficiency come into it?
Let me say two things, Brian. One, I've seen lots of numbers about spending in Newark. I've never heard anything as high as $28,000.
Number, Paul. I read 20 the other day, so I don't know.
So, but that's a sidelight. I think efficiency is an important element, and I've actually written an article recently saying we have to attend to efficiency. One of the ways we may have to attend to efficiency is by dealing with the incredible, crazy quilt of school districts we have. We have far too many school districts. Many of them are severely undersized. 25 of them are non-operating, which means they don't run anything, but they exist as separate districts. But those are issues the politicians in New Jersey have refused to address.
Steve,
we say we want efficiency, but we're not willing to bite that bullet.
Steve Adubato, you created the Robert Treat Academy.
And that's actually my father.
That's your father.
I've been very much involved in it. And,
yes.
And it's a great point, but go ahead, because I'm about to talk about charter schools and vouchers.
The other Steve Adubato, which has been designated a blue ribbon school by the Department of Education. So how does every kid in Newark get a Robert Treat level education without funds? How are you doing it, or are they doing it at that school? I've read there are long school years, class on Saturdays. That's expensive, right?
Well, let me just say this, and it's not about the Robert Treat Academy, even though they do have a first-rate track record. It's about schools, be they charter schools or not, that have figured out how to raise the bar, how to raise the standard, how to have a longer school year, how to have teachers engaged in the process, and teachers who are not engaged in the process and not good teachers for a long period of time, no longer in the classroom. And the bottom line is this. I go back to what Paul said before. He framed the discussion about vouchers in a very interesting way. He said it would divert money away from more money that you could spend on urban schools that the state could spend. All right, that's one way to frame it. Well, as a product of the Newark Public Schools in the 1970s, who then went to a parochial school where my family couldn't afford it because it was the only chance I had at a, quote, thorough and efficient education, because the schools in the city of Newark, the public schools, were such an abomination then, and they're not much better today. Paul, I challenge you, if you had a kid in the Newark Public School or any urban area and they were failing that kid, is that what you would tell a black or Hispanic or poor white parent whose kid was not getting the education they wanted, that we're just diverting money away from public schools? I'm not saying that vouchers are the answer, but to discount them as simply diverting money as opposed to giving some kids their only chance in life, that's disgraceful.
Well, if I can, Brian, you have the unusual circumstance of having two people who are born, raised, and Newark educated talking about these issues, because I went throughout the public schools in Newark and got an outstanding education a bit earlier than Steve did. But
I don't want to get bogged down on the voucher question, which is not at issue in the court right now, but give me a quick answer to that.
Well, I think parents are entitled to an excellent education. I think we're in an era where public education is being badmouthed beyond all recognition. There's studies that show that when you control for demographics, New Jersey has the highest student achievement of any state in the country, and is in the top couple by any benchmark. So are there failures? Yes. Are there successes? Yes.
All right.
Do the successes outnumber the failures? Absolutely.
On a statewide basis. But, Steve, one more question about Robert Treat.
Sure.
I understand it's been the recipient of large gifts, like $500,000 from Oprah Winfrey.
Right.
Presumably not a viable model for the public schools. And do you have a number on how much is spent per pupil there?
I can tell you that it's the last estimate I have, and I can follow up with your producers and get it. I believe it is approximately half the number we were talking about before in the city of Newark. If the number was 28 that I used, it's about half that number.
Brian, if I can weigh in on this, not specifically about Robert Treat or some of the other high-flying charter schools in Newark, but nationally, there's data showing that the high-flying charter schools, that is high student performance, spend between $35,000 and $50,000 a student.
Not even close here. Not even close. And I can tell you it's significantly less than the other number than we were talking about. And you know, Paul, you gave the number about student achievement and across the board. Put Newark and other urban areas, be they Camden, Jersey City, into context. And this is not an indictment on public education, but these are the facts. In the city of Newark, less than half of the high school age students can pass the high school proficiency test when you have an amount of money being spent right now, state aid to that school district, being so much higher than the state average and the national average. How do you discount that more than half of those students can't pass the basic high school proficiency test? How do you discount it and say it's not enough money?
I'm not saying it's not enough money. I'm saying that the amount of money the state determined under its formula was required for a constitutional education should be provided. You're arguing that we can do with $1.6 billion less this year and $2-point-something billion less next year. I'm saying the state should fund its own formula it would do.
We have a few minutes left with Paul Trachtenberg from the Rutgers Law School, education and constitutional law expert, Steve Adubato, Jr., political analyst, WNET anchor, author of the book What Were They Thinking, as we talk about the Tuesday Superior Court decision in New Jersey that is going to go to the state Supreme Court, by the way, saying that the state's current budget cut formula disadvantages poor kids unconstitutionally. And let's get a couple of callers in. Bill in Middlesex, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bill.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My point would be to take Governor Christie at his word and suggest that if, in fact, money doesn't really make a difference, then you require that each district spend the same amount of money per pupil. That makes no sense to most people, so I would think that you could challenge Governor Christie's thinking very quickly by doing that. Suburban school districts where kids come from a small family with affluent populations, lots of outside resources, obviously need much less when they arrive at the classroom than a poor immigrant kid in a large urban environment where they may come to a classroom not educationally ready, not physically ready, not emotionally ready to learn, and those teachers there are heroes for trying to deal with that challenge on a daily basis. Governor Christie is making a populist argument by saying that it's just simply not relevant to look at the money. If we take him at his word and we spend and require districts to spend equally the same amount of money, we'll still have a differential outcome just because of the way kids are ready to learn or not ready to learn when they arrive in school. And I think that it is a gratuitous argument to say that we can treat all kids the same. Kids are different. We all know that. And that's why people choose to live in different communities, because of the possibilities for their kids.
Thank you. Nancy in Ocean County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my comment here. I'm a teacher, retired after 34 years, and I agree with the comments about the teacher bashing. This money that is being given to the Abbott school districts would be even better well spent if they first funded jobs for the people and counseling and training for these families who do not send their children to school so that they're teachable. and the other caller talked about that, but no one has talked about, well, what would improve the quality of what's going on there, and first of all, you've got to stabilize those homes.
Nancy, thank you, but I think Larry in Brooklyn is going to have a different take. Larry, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I think picking up on the comments of the first caller, it's not as much about the money because there's very little recognition of the fact that underserved kids have a different set of needs and bring different issues into the classroom than kids who are not. And when teachers who are traditionally only prepared to teach the type of students that they'll encounter in Westchester, but those teachers end up teaching in Bushwick, you could give them $1 million per kid, but those kids are going to fail because the teacher is, one, not prepared to meet their needs, and two, has not been taught how to be culturally competent enough to teach them. So the money does become an issue, but even greater than that is the fact that teachers are being taught to teach one type of student, and they're not prepared, and it's very unfair to the educators, and they are trying to do a lot, but they're not prepared to meet the needs of kids who are coming from these backgrounds. They're not culturally competent, and at that point, it doesn't matter what the monetary investment is. You're going to produce the same result.
Larry, thank you very much. All right, so we're just about out of time. Steve and Paul, just tell me what you think is going to happen now that this goes to state Supreme Court. Are the lawyers going to have the same argument that you guys just had for the last 20 minutes? And why would it come out any differently? Give me just a minute or less, Paul.
I'll defer to Paul.
I think the court has an investment of literally 40 years in this issue, has been very clear about the constitutional requirements, and has referred to itself as the last resort guarantor of constitutional rights, even when it's unpopular to stand up on behalf of those rights.
This lower court judge said he couldn't take the state's fiscal condition into account under the law. The state Supreme Court can. Do you agree with that?
I'm not sure. That is to say, the Constitution is the Constitution. I believe the Constitution trumps the budget, not the other way around. I think that what the court has done in the past is to say, you've got to come up with the money to meet constitutional rights.
Steve, 20 seconds, last word.
If people don't work or aren't working and you don't have money coming into the state income tax for people who are working, and the state is about to go bankrupt, to say that it is irrelevant and the Constitution trumps fiscal reality is a logic I can't follow, and maybe because I'm not a lawyer. But it's been great talking to you, Brian, and always great to listen to you, Paul.
Thank you. You as well, Steve.
Onward. Steve Adubato, political analyst, WNET anchor, author of the book What Were They Thinking? Paul Trachtenberg, education and constitutional law expert at Rutgers Law School. Thank you both very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. New York City Deputy Mayor Howard Wolfson next on Bike Lanes, Part 2 and more.